We are studying today Parashat Shavua. Our parasha is Parashat Ve'et Hanan. Our parasha is famous for the Aseret HaDibarot, for the Ten Commandments. And also our parasha has the parasha of Shema. Shema Yisrael and the parasha of Ve'ahavta. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. V'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. The Gemara in Berachot, on Daf Nun Dalet, the Mishnah says, Chayav Adam levarech al hara'a, kishem shemivarech al hatova. A person is obligated to make a beracha on the ra'ah is the bad. He has to make a blessing. Kishem shemivarech al hatova. Just like he makes a blessing on good things. What's the proof? How do you know you have to make a beracha on bad as well as good? Shene'emar. Ve'ahavta at Adonai Elohecha. You have to love Hashem. Bechol levavecha. The word levavecha is double. We only have one heart. It should say Bechol libecha. What is Lebabecha? So it means with the two parts of the heart, the right heart and the left heart. The right ventricle and the left ventricle. What is in those two ventricles? So the Mishnah says, Mishnei Yetzarecha, with the two inclinations, the Yetzer Tov, Ub Yetzer Ra. I'm not exactly sure what this Mishnah means. You just told me you have to bless God for the bad things in life. Okay, I accept. And then you tell me, what's the proof? The proof is because we have a pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? V'avtat Hashem Elohecha, you have to love God. Okay, you have to love God. How do you have to love God? B'chol levavecha, with all your heart. So Gemara says, with all your hearts. Shnei yitzarecha, yitzar tov, yitzar ra. What's the proof? That's a proof that you have to bless God for the bad? I don't see a proof over here. But I'm going to continue reading the Mishnah because it's an interesting Mishnah to know. Then it says, Bechol nafshecha, you have to love God with all of your body, all of your soul. Afilu notelet nafshecha, even if he takes your body, your religion or your life, a person has to be willing to give up his life in certain situations for the Borei Olam. If somebody tells you worship Avodah Zarah, or somebody says to go murder somebody, or somebody says to commit an act of immorality, this is Yareg Mal Ya'avod. And in certain cases, a person is able to give up his life for all of the mitzvot. If it's a case of Kiddush Hashem, or it's in a time with the Gemara called Shmad, where the Goyim are coming against us, then even for a small minhag, a person is able to give his life up. So the Pasuk says you have to love God. To what extent do you have to love God? B'chol nafshecha, that you're willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol me'odecha, what does b'chol me'odecha mean? B'chol mamonecha. B'chol mamonecha is all of your money. That you have to be willing to expend all of your money in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'shalom, a person sees all his assets are up in flames. Bar menan lo alinu v'lo alechem on Shabbat Kodesh. And it's not dangerous for anybody. There's no neighbors, there's no sakana. He comes home, he's living in a field. And he has a big palace. And the palace is on fire. And he has a big urge to pick up some water and put out the fire. Otherwise he's going to lose everything. So the one that loves God has to be willing to give up all his fortune. B'chol me'odecha. B'chol mamonecha. A person doesn't have to go to that extent when it comes to paying for mitzvot. In order to be religious, it costs money. It costs money for matzot. It costs money for a lulav. It costs money for a sukkah. It costs money for a tefillin. It costs money to make a hatuna. It costs money to send our children to yeshiva. It costs money to send our children to Jewish camps. All this costs money. Where the goyim basically go to the butcher of the Jewish people. It's very, very much more expensive than the butcher of the goyim. So it costs us money. So a person might say, oh, I don't want to spend money to be religious. I don't want to spend money to be Jewish. So the Torah says, if you want to show how much you love God, if you're able to spend money, if a person loves somebody, he spends money on them. A person buys his wife a gift, or he buys his children gifts. He buys somebody that he admires, he buys them a gift. He said, well, what do you have to spend money on me for? He said, what are you talking about? It's my pleasure to spend the money. My honor, this is nothing, this is just a token. So if you love Borei Olam, the money that we spend is a token. Ma'ashiv, La'ashem, what can we give back to God? Kol tagmoni ho'alai. Hashem gives us so much. So to buy God, ki'ilu, to spend some money for the service of Hashem, is worth it. So that's what the Mishnah means. B'chol levavecha, you have to serve God. B'shnei yitzarecha. B'yetzer tov, and yetzer ra. B'chol nafshecha, you have to serve God, even giving your life. B'chol meodecha, you have to serve God with all your money. But again, this needs understanding. The Gemara asks, what's the beracha that you make on good news, on good tidings? So there's a beracha called a tov v'metiv. God is good, and he's metiv, and he does good to others. It's not our custom. But the custom of the Ashkenazim is if they have a baby. So they make a tov v'metiv after the lady gives birth. If they have a girl, if they have a boy, they make shechayanu at the brit milah. If they have a girl, they say tov v'metiv. A girl is, it's good, and she does good because she has more babies. Tov v'metiv, she's able to reproduce. If somebody gets a certain windfall, a profit, so sometimes they make a tov v'metiv. When we drink wine, a good wine, we make a tov v'metiv, a second wine. That's the beracha that we make on good things. What's the beracha that we make, God forbid, on bad things? So the Gemara says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Dayana Emet. We accept the judgment of God. The judgment of God is Emet. Dayana Emet. We accept. So the Mishnah is saying, just like you bless God for the good things, so you have to bless God for the bad things. So the Gemara says, what do you mean just? It's not just. This is one beracha. This is a different beracha. It's two different berachot. This is Borei Pri Ha'etz, this is Shakol Yal Baro. It's two different blessings. How could the Mishnah say, Kishem? So Yomara says, no, we know there's different blessings. Ela, lekabolinu b'simcha. It's teaching you the attitude. That just like a person blesses God on the good things in life, he's b'simcha, he's happy. So too a person has to get to a level that even on the bad things of life, he has to bless, a different blessing, but the attitude has to be the same. What? Bismcha. I'm talking at a very high level. This is not something we just say in 22 seconds. Okay, so if something bad happens, you have to make bismcha. It's not so simple to be bismcha. A person wins the lotto, and he goes to pick up his check. You tell the guy, hey, don't forget to be bismcha. You don't have to tell me, don't worry. I don't have to be bismcha. You don't have to tell me to be bismcha. Techaven bismcha. I can have simcha. He's dancing. It doesn't have to be told. But God forbid, if the stockbroker calls him up and says, you lost $1 million in the stock market today. No, tabarech, tabarech. No, he's crying, cha'be'ab. Bismcha. Bismcha. You want me to make a barakah? Make a barakah, dayana emet. But it should be bismcha also. How can the Gemara ask us to do the impossible? They were great tzaddikim when they had personal losses. Lo alechem ve lo alenu. When they lost family members. So they would go to the funeral. And at the funeral they would make the barakah of Dayana Emet. There was one rabbi, when he came to the funeral, he was outside, he didn't walk in yet. The students are waiting, where's the rabbi? And he's waiting, and he's waiting. And after a long period of time, he came in. And he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Dayana Emet. They said, Rabbi, where were you? He said, I'm working on myself that I should be making it bismcha. So it's not so simple. He had to put himself in an understanding. The question is, what is this understanding? So there is a very significant Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his commentary on this Gemara, and I quote, Yekabel hakol b'simcha. You should accept everything b'simcha. V'yachshov ki hakol kaparat abonotav. That all of what goes on to a person is for kaparat his abonot. That means when a person goes through yisurim, when a person goes through difficulty, and there isn't a person that doesn't go through difficulty. Everybody has a share of yisurim. So what's the attitude that person should have? You shouldn't think that the yisurim are worthless. You shouldn't think that the yisurim are arbitrary, or the yisurim are just haphazard. The yisurim are beneficial to a person. In what sense? Not, we don't ask for yisurim. We don't ask for troubles. But if a person is going through a hardship, he has to know it's kaparat avonot. Now, of course, we're not allowed to tell somebody that. If you see somebody in the hospital languishing, you don't go to say, oh, kaparat avonotcha. This is for all your avirot, kapara. That's for all your avirot, maybe. What do you mean kaparat avonot? To a sick person, you don't have to tell him that. He's sick enough. But this is the person in his own brain. He has to say, nobody's a tzaddik, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very kind, and it's much cheaper to pay over here than to have to pay in the next world. Or Chas v'Shalom, that a neshama has to come back in Gilgul. People think, Gilgul, I'll come back another time. It's like putting the in the recycling bin. I put it in the recycling, I'll come back again. No. The Zohar HaKadosh says it's a big tzar for the neshama to have to come back in Gilgul. But Menan, people make averot, they come back in a bird, they come back in a cow, they come back in a rock, they come back in who knows what. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Ben Ari says, some neshamot that commit certain sins, they come back in a leaf. Say, okay, leaf is nice, on a tree it's beautiful. Alim shel ilan, that says the Ben Ari. When the wind starts to blow, he says, if you were able to turn up the volume on the leaves, you'd hear all those neshamot. Turn off the wind, shut the wind, we're blowing back and forth. So who wants to have Sa'ar of Gilgulim? We want to come down and finish. Make our tikkun and go to Gan Eden. But what? Nobody's perfect. En Sadiq Asher Ya'aseh, En Sadiq Ba'ares, Asher Ya'aseh Tov, even the biggest tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu, he hit the rock. No tzaddik, very few left this world with a perfect record. The pasuk says, "Olam chesed yibane." What does it mean, "Olam chesed yibane"? This world is the world of chesed. What does it mean, the world of chesed? Did you ever hear of a business that files bankruptcy? What is bankruptcy? Chapter 11. Perek Yud Aleph. Chapter 11 in bankruptcy means if a person, let's say, a company owes $1 million, they say, we don't have it. Where are we going to get $1 million? And all the creditors are knocking on the door. Hey, pay up. They say, what do you want to do? We don't have anything. So they say, Chapter 11, bankruptcy. So they make a deal. Instead of paying you $1, we'll give you 10 cents. You accept? No, I don't accept. Good, you get zero. Okay, then I accept. 0, 10 cents, I'll take 10 cents. So now instead of $1 million, they pay 10%. They pay $100,000. It's a chesed. That's a big chesed. Because now the company can reestablish itself. This world is the same thing. If a person commits an avera, he has to pay. Upstairs, there's no discounts. Upstairs, it's full price. Person has to pay for the averot based on what the value is. But if a person gets a little affliction in this world, he gets a little inconvenience, that little affliction is able to wipe away a lot of averot, 10 cents to the dollar. That means a small tsa'ar ba'olam hazeh wipes away a lot of avonot and a lot of troubles. A person, if he would see what he has over there and what he has, he would always say, I'll take it here. Give it to me here. It's a much better deal. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah means. And when a person goes through a difficult time, he has to think in his brain, this is for kaparat avonot. I'm going to have to pay one way or another. I'm going to have to pay now, I'm going to have to pay later. So therefore, let me pay it now, and at least when I get to Olam Abba, I'll be clean. That's what you see many times in this world. The tzaddikim suffer. Ask yourself a question. Tzaddikim should suffer. The tzaddikim should have perfect life. They do. In Olam Abba, their life is perfect. The suffering many times of the tzaddikim is maybe they did an avirah when they were young. Maybe they have a little stain on their neshama. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I just need to clean this one little blemish, and then they're pure. So they get it in this world. So the tzaddik, when he gets the yesurim, he's happy. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem, let me accept it here. So that's what the Gemara means. Keshem, shebebarech. Just like you bless God for the good things happily. So you have to put yourself in that frame of mind. It's kaparat avonot. It's good for me. It's cleansing. Harambam has a different interpretation. I want to read you Harambam. Harambam wrote a perush on the Mishnayot. It's called Perush HaMishnayot. What do you think he's going to call it? Perush HaMishnayot of the Rambam. The ninth perek in Berachot, he writes as follows. Hayav Adam nevarech al ha-ra'a kashiv shemevarech al ha-tova. Ma she'amar kashem, what do you mean kashem? It's a different beracha. Kashem shemevarech al ha-tova rotsum lekabel oto b'simcha. Ve'lev tov. Ve'lechbosh ka'aso. You can't be angry with God. You have to control your anger. People are angry with God. That claims. What are you doing? Why do I get this? You have to control the anger. V'yitav nafsho kishibarech dayana emet. Kemo shi'aseh b'shal shibarech hatov v'metiv. Uchmo she'omrim hachamim, like the rabbis taught us. Berov devrehem, many times. Kol ma da'avid min shemaya letav. That really everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does in a certain way, it's really good. V'zeh davar sikhli etzel ba'al ha-sikhil. He says, you don't need a Gemara to tell you this. This is logical. For people that have rational thinking, you should come to this truth on your own. You don't need rabbis to tell you this, he says. V'afidu lo hora katub adab. Even if you didn't have a pasuk. V'fi sheyesh devarim rabin. There's many things. Nir'in b'tchilatam tovin. Initially, they look good. V'yeh haritam ra'a. But then you see, as the time goes on, it's really bad. It wasn't so good. Ve'al ken en ra'ui lemaskin leshtomem kishetavu alav ra'a gedola. And therefore, a smart person, when something very bad comes upon him, he shouldn't be so worried or shocked. Mipnei she'enu yodea sofa. You don't know how it's going to end. You don't know what's bad. Now it looks bad. But the Rambam says a lot of times, over the course when things pass, it's really good. And he goes on to say, the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he always would say, "Kol ma da'avid rahamana letav avid." Everything is good. He didn't have such an easy life, Rabbi Akiva. One day he went to a city, and he came to a hotel. And he tells the hotel manager, "I'd like a room in the hotel." They say, "We have no rooms." Imagine that, Rabbi Akiva. He was very humble, Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't say, "You know who I am? I'm Rabbi Akiva, Rosh Hashiva of 24,000 students. I'm the greatest rabbi of the generation. There must be a room for me." He doesn't say anything. Okay. It's for the best. Where's he going to go? He said, "I'll go sleep in the fields." He had with him his donkey, he had with him his lantern, and his alarm clock. The alarm clock was the rooster. He goes to the field, and he's lying there at night. All of a sudden, a lion comes and eats the hamor, eats the donkey. Okay, Baruch Hashem didn't eat Rabbi Akiva, but it ate the donkey. Now he doesn't have a donkey. There's his car. Now he doesn't have a car. He says, "Okay, kapara, letav avid, it's for the best." All of a sudden, a cat came, chum, ate his rooster. Okay, now he doesn't have an alarm clock. Now he doesn't have a way to get up in the morning. There's the tav avid. All of a sudden a wind comes, chum, and blows out the candle. Now he's in the dark, no amor, no rooster. He says everything God does is the tav avid. He's the happiest man. He's besimcha. Because the bi'akiva is smart, Harabam says. On paper looks bad. But Rabbi Akiva says to himself, do I know what bad is? What's bad? I don't know the end of the story yet. Bad you only know in the end if it was bad or not. Now it's a story in progress. Although it looks bad. Because it looks bad doesn't mean it's bad. Maybe something good will come out of it. Not maybe something good. For sure something good will come out of it. Anyway, the next day, he gets the newspaper. He sees in the newspaper, terrorists came into the city. And they took over the whole city, and they pillaged the whole hotel that he was supposed to stay in. He would have been in there also. He says, if my donkey would have been there, the donkey would have brayed in the middle of the night, the goyim would have heard that I'm in the field, they would have came after me. And if my rooster would have made the cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning, they would have heard, and they would have came after me. And if they would have seen my lantern lit in the middle of the wilderness, they would have caught me. Didn't I tell you? So how could Rabbi Akiva at that time, although he must have made the Barakat Dayana Emet, he made the Barakat Dayana Emet. He didn't say, my Hamor died, Jayanu, Vikiyamanu, Vikiyanu. He said Dayana Emet, but he was happy. They said, Rabbi, how could you make Dayana Emet happy? He said, because this is a judgment, but Borei Olam knows what he's doing. Even the judgments have a good ending. Borei Olam is good to us. God is Tov. Ben Ish Chai says, a remez on this. He says, the Gemara writes, the Vrei HaChamim benachat nishma'im. That the way of the rabbis, when they speak benachat. The Rasha, he speaks with brazenness. The Rasha screams. He speaks very strong. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ba Rasha, Ba Gambuz. When the Rasha comes, he speaks with anger, with hatred. The tzaddik, the Vrei HaChamim benachat nishma'im. So he says, what does benachat mean? He says, nachat is rashi tevot. Ner, hamor, tannegol. That's the remez to Rabbi Akiva. The Vrei HaChamim benachat. Even if they lost their nachat, even if they lost all the three items, benachat, they don't complain. They say, ishtabach shemo nachat. Everything is good. So that's what Rambam says. You cannot come along and say, hey, it's bad. Hey, what's bad? What do you know from bad? We said at the Rash once, and I'm sure you remember it. In the Birchot HaShachar, all the Birchot HaShachar are written in the present tense. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Pokeyach Evrim. You open the blind eyes. Matir Asurim. You're able to move. Zokef Kefufim. We're able to stand. Malvish Arumim, we're able to give us clothes. Hanoten layayef kawah, you give the tired person kawah. Everything is in the present. Then we get to the beracha. Sha'asali kol sorki. How does sha'asali? You provided for me all my needs. How does it provided? You should say sha'asali. You provide me. So we explained it as follows. If a person has a job, he's making a parnasa. He's supporting his family. Bekoshi, bedohak, barely. All of a sudden, one morning, he comes into the office. There's a pink slip on his desk. They tell him, "You're patur. Get. Arezikitech. Go home." I say, "Go home." No warning, no nothing. I have to support my family. He goes home that night. He's metzahar. He's depressed. So what am I going to do now? Now the next morning, he has to make berchot hashahar. What is he going to say? Sha'oseli kosurki? What is sha'oseli kosurki? God, you provide me with all my needs. He cannot say that beracha. What's needs? What needs? You took away my job. I have no livelihood. He cannot make this beracha with a full heart. But what happened? All of a sudden, somebody sees him in the synagogue 2 weeks later. He's all sad. Now, why are you sad today? He said, well, any avodah, I don't have avodah. He says, I don't believe it. I'm looking for somebody in my warehouse. You have experience? I have. He gets another job. Now the job that he got, a little more money he gets, maybe a better hours, and it's a better area, it's easier, it's more convenient. So his wife tells him, wow, look at that. If you would have stayed in that job over there, you never would have got this job over here. Baruch Hashem, it was a stepping stone. Borei Olam had to bring you out of that bad place to bring you into a good place. So the next morning he gets up, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, She'asali kol sorki. He says, I have to thank you. 2 weeks ago when you fired me, I didn't understand what you were doing to me. I was all upset. But now I see, Ishtabach Shem Ola'ad, you were worried about me then. She'asali kol sorki. Another case, and the truth is this story that I'm telling you, I know it. There's a fellow that we know him from the community. He's a worker. He works for a company, but the company very, very mean to him. They don't pay his commissions. They don't treat him well. Every time I have a chance to take advantage of him. But the guy's a Sadiq, man, he closes his eyes, he goes to work, he makes parnasa. One day, in the office, one of the workers, or the owners actually, for whatever reason, he lost his temper, and he got into a fight with this guy. But with fists, the guy came home from work, black eye, bloody nose, his wife says, what happened to you? This is what I do. The guy goes crazy. And he takes it out of me. I'm abused over here. So the boss tells him, or somebody tells him, actually I told him, I said, you cannot go back to this place. Rabbi, I need parnasa. You need parnasa. This is Borei Olam saving you from her. And he sat home for weeks and crying and crying and crying. All of a sudden somebody calls him up. Hey, you're this guy, you sell this. I'm looking for a partner. Today, now he became a partner. Where he himself is his own boss. And he comes to me and he tells me, that day, those two bloody eyes, Borei Olam saved me. He said, because I was still would have been there. I still would have been taking the abuse. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. Sha'asali kol sorki. And this happens a lot in life. The Gemara says, in Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim, on Kuf Yud Chet. Gemara says like this. Hudu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasdo. Everybody knows this pasuk. How do you learn this pasuk? What does the pasuk mean? So you say to yourself, God is good, you have to thank God. Hudu, hudu is give thanks. Why do you have to give God thanks? Because he's kind to me. The Gemara says that's not the explanation of the pasuk. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. Hodu l'Adonai, give God thanks. Shegove chovato shel Adam betovato. God takes his bill. He takes payment for what you owe him betovato, with the good that you have. Ashir Beshoro. The rich man, he loses his donkey. Ani Beshiyo. The poor man loses his sheep. Yatom Bebetzato. The orphan, he loses his egg. That's all he has. Almana Betanegurta. The widow with a chicken. Which means, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to take payment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always go after the person. He takes something away from the person that is a money, is an asset. So David HaMelech says, Odu l'Adonai, I have to give God thanks. Ki tov, because you took away the tovah, you took away my shod. You didn't take away me. The shod is replaceable. And then with this pasuk of everybody thinks Hodu l'Adonai ki tov is talking about when something good happens to a person. No, this is talking about when a person loses something. When bar minan, a person, his car gets a smash. No, alinu v'lo alechem. Wow! So we would not say Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. David says, ah, who do not like Yitzhak Amasdo? The car gets a smash, and Hazbush Shalom, if he gets a smash over here, ain't no refuah. A smash in the car, Baruch Hashem, you took it out on the car. The car is replaceable. Hodul Adonai, bless you God, thank you. Kitov, because you take away the tov, and you don't take away the person. This is an attitude of David. This is the way they looked at it, the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim always looked at financial loss, at least. Or monetary loss. Where a person says, oh, all of a sudden the roof, and there was a storm, and people lost their homes. People's basements were flooded. We're not happy. It's a terrible thing. It's a sad thing. But David HaMelech would say, Baruch Hashem, I'm floating. I'm alive. The storm didn't take me away. This, we're able to replace. Hodul Adonai. Praise God. Kitov. But I want to say a deep interpretation on this pasuk. I want to see a deep interpretation. I saw somebody, one of the young men of the community. He bought a new car and the car got a scratch across the whole side. Not that he did it, Bizadon, somebody came, malicious kids, with a key. So he comes and he sees me, he says, Rabbi, what is this here? And so on and so forth, all upset. A few days later, there was a big tragedy in the community. A young girl had passed away. Du'alim. So he went to the funeral. Happens to be, I'm sitting next to this guy. So I said, now's a good time to give him musar. Because he was overreacting about his car. So I turned to him, as they're bringing the body in, I said, Aiki, how's the car? He said, the car, shtuyot, what car? Now you're talking about a car. What car? They're saying, Yoshev Besete Lelion, they're bringing in a, God forbid, a girl that fell. What a car. He said, I'm Beracha, the car. I'm lucky I'm alive. No, this is what you have to come here to say that? Your attitude's supposed to be that without having to come to a funeral. Who knows? What, better you should get scratched on your body? So God said, listen, he has to get a scratch. And the Midat HaDin says, scratch the boy. And the Yetzirah Tov says, don't scratch the boy. Baruch Hashem, he has a car. Scratch the car. So you're complaining? It would have been on you, God forbid. Hodul Adonai. Thank you, Borei Olam. Ki Tov. That you took it away on my Tov, on my good, on my possessions. And who knows, maybe that's why God gave you the possession in the first place. So he could take it away from you. If you didn't have the possession in the first place, you wouldn't be able to, you'd have to come after the person. This is what we said in the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, we were lucky we had a Beit HaMikdash. When God needed to take payment, he took away the Beit HaMikdash. So he took his anger on stones, sticks and stones. Sticks and stones, he could replace sticks and stones. That's why we cry, because now we don't have a Beit HaMikdash anymore. Now where is he going to take? We're running out of stuff. Anyway, the Darash we wanted to say today is like this. I was thinking, and then I found it in the Sefer. When it says, Odul Adonai ki tov ki deulam hasto, how did the Gemara know that this is talking about when somebody lost something? Again, if I were to ask you, Odul Adonai ki tov ki deulam, you'd say that's on a birthday party, that's on an anniversary, that's on Mother's Day. You say, and the Gemara said, no, that's when the guy got his car got stolen and he lost $1 million. That's what it is. You'd say, where are you getting this from? How does the Gemara know this? So I saw an explanation like this. You know God's name. God's name is Yudke Bavke. That's the name of mercy. Whenever you see Yudke Bavke, that's kindness. However, and this I never taught you before, sometimes the kindness of God is not apparent. The kindness is hidden. You don't see it. Like when a mother takes a child to the doctor to get a shot, and the mother brings it, come, we're going to the doctor. Mommy, I don't want to go to the doctor. You're going to go, don't worry, it'll be okay. Mommy's with you. And the mother takes the baby to the doctor, and the doctor comes in with a big needle. The child says, Mommy, who's that for? Don't worry, that's for you. That's for me. You're coming to protect me, or you're coming to kill me? This guy over here, he has a harpoon in his hand, he's going to kill me. Don't worry, it's good. And the doctor says, Mommy, hold the baby down. Says, Akeda Yitzchak. The mother's holding the baby down, and the baby's screaming, crying, and the baby's saying, what kind of mother do I have over here? What kind of cruel mother? She brought me here, and she's helping the enemy? She's helping the doctor? And all of a sudden, he finishes, he's in pain for 3 days, his leg hurts from the tzar. He's cranky, he can't understand what his mother did. But after 3 days, he forgets about it. And all of a sudden, one day, he's reading a newspaper. There's a outbreak of measles. And everybody's getting measles. He says, Ma, how come I don't get measles? Well, how come you don't get measles? You remember that day I took you to the doctor over there? He gave you a shot. That made sure you'll never get measles, you'll never get mumps, you'll never get rubella, you'll never get whooping cough. 10 diseases I saved you from. Oh, I didn't know. I was doing chesed. But you didn't see the chesed. The chesed was, it was hidden. It was hidden behind the, but it's chesed. No one can deny it. When you inoculate your children, you take your children to the doctor at least. You're doing your children a chesed. Nothing to talk about. Although the child doesn't see it, he only sees it later on. God is the same way. A lot of times he does chesedim to us. But like the child at the doctor, he cannot see it. He cannot understand what is happening to him. Yudke Vavke equals 26. I know that. But there's something that's called Mispar Katan. Mispar Katan, what it does is you take each letter, but there's no digits of 10. For example, 10 becomes 1. So if you take the Mispar Katan, the small numeric of Yudke Vavke, Yud is 10, that's 1. So Yud is 1. He is 5. Well, 5 is 5. You don't have to change 5. Vav is 6. 6 remains 6. And He is 5. 1 plus 5 plus 6 plus 5 equals 17. That's Misfar Katan. That means sometimes when the Yudke Vavke is Katan, you don't see it. It's mercy, but it's minimized. It shrinks. That's the small chesed. But then there's the Mispar Gadol. And this already we learned in the class. If you want to take Yudke Vavke and you want to open it up, instead of shrinking it, you want it to be revealed. What's the highest level of the Yudke Vavke? What does it equal? 72. Excellent. The people know the answers to these questions. There's some smart men that don't know how to answer these questions. How do I get 72 Yudke Vavke? So it's very simple, with the Minui. Very good. Yud, I spelled Yud Vav Dalet. Yud. Yud. That's 20. And He, I spell He Yud. No, He Yud. 15. That's 35. Vav is Vav Yud Vav. Vav Yud Vav is 22. That's 57. And then He Yud, again, is 15. 72. That's the... There's another word in Hebrew that also equals 72, and that's chesed. Chesed is chet samich dalet, 72. Why is chesed that 72? Because chesed represents the name of God, revealed and opened. Whereas 17 represents the name of God, concealed. It's closed. So David HaMelech was saying, Hodu ladonai, Kitov, you have to thank God when He's Tov. Tov equals how much? 17. Tet Vavbet. Hodu Ladonai Kitov. You have to praise God even when He looks to you as Tov. Even when you see it's minimized. You say, where is the chesed over here? You know why you have to thank God when it's Tov? Ki le'olam hasdo. Because ultimately it's chesed. From the tov comes the chesed. From the small, restricted name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes the big name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tov always becomes chesed. And this is what David HaMelech said in the Tehillim. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei hayai. David HaMelech said, please God, you should always pursue me. You should always chase me with tov and chesed, which means, it starts off as tov. You say, why did I lose my car? Why did I lose my car? What happened over here? It doesn't look like a chesed. But they say, yeah, it's a chesed in disguise. You don't see it now. All of a sudden, they call you up after, and the guy finds out that there was a default on the car. The steering was no good, but menan sakana to drive the car. Baruch Hashem, now I see it, you saved me. Like the Gemara says a story of a person, Gemara Nida, Daf Lamed Bet. A guy was running to catch a boat. They didn't have planes in those days. To make business. And as he's running on the boardwalk to catch the boat, boom, he gets a splinter. He gets a splinter, and now he misses the boat. He missed the boat. And he's saying, oh, Hashem, what did you do to me? All my business now is to make on the boat. What are you going to do to me? And then all of a sudden he finds out the boat sunk. He says, oh, he's not happy that the boat sunk, but he's happy that he's alive. So he says, Yishtabach Shem Ola'ad. God, he takes that splinter, he puts it on the wall. This splinter over here saved my life. This splinter over here was a hasadim. But originally it was a tov. It was God giving a shot. But you don't see it. So, do la donai ki tov. That eventually you see that this was hasadim gedolim, and this is with everything in life. I must make a point on this. Hashem has two names. One name is Yudke Vavke, and one name is Elohim. Yudke Vavke is mercy. Elohim is judgment. In the Shema Yisrael we say, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. To us it seems there's two tracks. God is sometimes Yudke Vavke, and sometimes it's Elohenu. When things are going good, it's Yudke Vavke. When things are going bad, it's Elohenu. There's good and bad. There's right and left. But then during the Shema, we come along and say, everything is good. Even though it seems to us that Hashem Elohenu, it's really Hashem Echad. It's all Hashem. All Hashem. It looks to us as Hashem Elohenu, which means, you see, 10 stories. That's a good one. That's a bad one. Bad, good, good, bad, 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 good. Everything we classify. Hashem Elokeinu. But in Shema we come to the realization, or we have to come to the realization, Hashem Elokeinu. It's all Yud Kevavke. It's all mercy. That's why one of the Mefarshim say, you have to be very careful because the eyes are deceiving. Very difficult for a person to see something that's upsetting, something that's negative, and then for him to walk away and say, somehow it's good. None of us, I don't know anybody, maybe the big Sadiqim. I'm only saying this because one of my sons is in Eretz Yisrael. He called me on Erev Tisha B'Av. He said, Dad, we went to Yad Vashem today. Did you ever go to Yad Vashem? The Holocaust Memorial. I said, I went. He never told me about it. We don't talk about it. We went, we saw it. It's a too heavy to see it. What did you think? Wow. You know, young boy sees these things. When you see it, very hard to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tov, good. It's the epitome of cruelty. And far be it for me to even attempt to try to explain this. So that's why one of the rabbis says, you can't go after your eyes. Your eyes are going to fool you. So when we say the Shema, we cover our eyes. We cover our eyes in order that we don't see, we don't get influenced by what we see. So we say, in a world where we cover our eyes, where you don't see anything, that means it's in the brain. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Once you open your eyes, all of a sudden the emunah starts to get shaky again. And then the first parasha in the Shema we say, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. We say both names of God. That you have to love God. You have to love God because He's Hashem Elohecha. That even when He acts like Elohecha, it's really Yudke Vavke. Even the difficult times, it's Hashem Elohecha, then we have to love Him. Once we explain, this is what it means in the Gemara. Keshem Shemivarech Ala Tova, Kach Mivarech Ala Ra'a. What does Keshem mean? Keshem also means a name. The name of God of Tov is Yudke Vavke. The name of God of Bed is Elohim. The Gemara is saying, no. Keshem Shemivarech. With the same name, Yudke Vavke, that you bless God for good things, you have to know it's the same Shem that is the bad things. It's not two different forces. Keshem, Keshem. This is, again, these things take years to develop. You shouldn't say, okay, that's it, I came to the rabbi's class, that's it, now I have emunah, I'm healed in 43 minutes. The rabbis work on this tzaddikim for their whole life in order to develop emunah. But you have to work on it. And it's possible to reach these levels of emunah, to accept even the difficult situations, be'ahava, be'sma'a, le'tav avid. But I want to say one more point. And this is the basis. Everybody focuses when Rabbi Akiva said, "Kol da'avid rahamana le'tav avid." Everything that God does is for the best. So they focus on, it's for the best. That's the main part of the statement. Everything's for the best. But there's another part that they have to focus on this statement. Kol da'avid rahamana. God does everything. Kol da'avid rahamana. That everything is from rahamana. A person shouldn't think that, that's randomness. There was one conservative rabbi. He wrote a famous book. And there's been many books written after that book to refute the book. He wrote a book on the Holocaust. His name of the book was "Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?" And he concludes, correct, not worthy to say his name. In the book he concludes, Barmanan, what he says, the guy, he's a kofir, he concludes that this could not have been from God. It had to be, God was not there, and He didn't do it, and it's just a random. He doesn't realize that now he made it 1,000 times worse. If somebody went through a difficult time and at least he's told, but this is an act of God, okay, so God was doing it, He knows what He's doing. But then if you tell the person, no, this wasn't even God, God wasn't even involved, this was you're on your own, random. Wow, now you made the person much more bizarre. At least if he knows Hashem was doing it, so Hashem is smart, Hashem has a reason. But then you tell a person, no, this is so bad, even God doesn't do it. But now, it cannot be. So he explained on this subject, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you have to know. I told you what the Baal Shem said. Baal Shem said when you're driving on the street and you see a truck that has hay and there's a piece of straw that falls off the truck. And you see the piece of straw falling, and it lands on the ground. So the Baal Shem says, you have to know that straw fell at that spot, in that place, that's Min HaShamayim. That was from God. God was dealing with that. Don't think that's random. God knows. Yes, God is even dealing with the creation to that level. The first of the Ten Commandments is the following. Anochi Adonai Elohecha Asher Otzeticha Me'eres Mitzrayim Mibet Abadim. I want to explain this pasuk to you today. I am God, Anochi Hashem Elohecha. I took you out of Egypt, Me'eres Mitzrayim, from the land of Egypt, Mibet Abadim, from the house of slavery. What does it mean? Eres Mitzrayim mibet Abadim. What are these two terminologies? Just say Anochi Hashem Eres Mitzrayim. What is Eres Mitzrayim mibet Abadim? So I'm going to explain it. There are many people think that God only is involved in things that have to do with major issues. World events. Famines in countries. World wars. Front page of the news. Empires rising and empires falling. If you see what's going on in Egypt today, where the whole country is in turmoil, people would say, yeah, for sure, this is God. God's shaking up the world. You see what's going on in Syria. They say, this is a big news. God's shaking up the world. People think that Borei Olam maybe is only involved in the big things. That's represented in Eretz Mitzrayim. God says, yes, I was there, of course. Eretz Mitzrayim, the big land of Egypt. What do you think was doing everything? But then God reminds you, remember that night of Makat Bechorot, when you put the paint on your doorposts, the blood, and every Jew that had blood on his doorpost, nobody died in that house, and every Egyptian in their homes, there was a death. I showed you on that night that I am not only the God of the country, but I am God of the home as well. That means my divine providence is also close to you in your house. Even on your personal daily livings, what goes on in your house, what goes on in your personal life, Anochi Adonai Elohecha, I'm the same God as Shetutzuticha Me'eres Mitzrayim, and I'm the same God that took you out of Bet Abadim from the house of slavery. That's the great, the macro, as they call it, and that's the micro. The macro is the big things. The micro is the small. God says, and there's no difference. There's no difference to me. When you go to God's desk, what do you see on God's desk? You see world events and this pile. And then you see what's happening in this guy's house, in his basement. That's on the front page also, but I'm doing everything. There's no difference to me. Eretz Yisrael in Bet Abadim. The divine providence is everywhere. This is very important to accept. This is very important to accept. Because once you accept that the divine providence is everywhere, so then you know everything is an act of God. You see, the insurance companies only give big things act of God. Tornado, oh, act of God. Hurricane, act of God. But now if a person walks in the street and stubs his toe, you call the insurance company, they don't say act of God, they say random. So, no. Everything from the Eretz Mitzrayim to the Bet Abadim. I cannot remember if I told you the story, because I gave a lot of shi'urim in Deal, in Lakewood, all over, and my mind is confused where I told what. But I'll show you, when people live with such emunah, they see the hand of God, how God runs everything. Somebody came to me and said, you believe that every leaf that falls off the tree is destined from God? This is mugzam, he says. This is exaggerated, Rabbi. That leaf that falls at that spot, in that place, I said, and if I could prove it to you, this also you know how to prove? I can prove everything to you. I'm going to prove you this today, bro. Okay, b'chavu. I said, v'didi hama uvda. With me happened a story. Many years ago, when we were kids, it was a vacation from the yeshiva, so we went to Florida. Came to Florida, my grandfather, Alav HaShalom, told us as kids, tomorrow morning you wake up early. Tomorrow morning we're going to Disney World. Disney World. This is Gan Eden in this world. We're gonna see our world in our lifetime. So we get up with myself and my sister. My grandfather wakes up at 5 in the morning. We jump in the car. We're so excited. We didn't even eat. We didn't bring food. We did nothing. We just want to get there. And my grandfather's driving, and he's driving. But we didn't eat, and we're getting car sick, and we're driving. It's endless driving. We didn't think anything. We're kids. We're not getting into the details. My sister got sick, and she throws up in the car. Now what are we going to do? We have 2 hours more to go. We're in the middle. It's dark. It's dark on the road. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 in the morning. It's dark still. Where are we going to go now? Where are we going? The next pit stop is 50 miles. There's nothing to do now. What did you do here? We're not going to get there. Instinctively, my grandfather says, everything Hashem does is letav avid. Everything is for the best. I said, Grandpa, what's best over here? We're stuck. He said, Borei Olam is going to help us, you're going to see. He pulls over to the side. In those days, there were no cell phones. There was no nothing. He goes, no, you can't call somebody. You didn't have water bottles in your car like we have today. It's a different world it was. He pulls over to the side. My word of honor. He pulls over to the side. We get out of the car. On the side of the road, you see two hubcaps. Remember the old hubcaps used to be on the tires? They used to be like a vessel. And the hubcaps, both of them are filled to the top with water. My grandfather takes the first one. He pours it on the leather seats. Zoom. He says, now we have to rinse. He takes the second one. Boom. And he cleans it. He says, I told you. I'm thinking to myself when I got older. I said, you know what this means? That means, who knows when there was another car driving down the freeway. And he must have went over a bump. And his hubcaps fell off. You ever see sometimes on the highway the hubcaps are rolling? And they rolled exactly at that spot. And what happened? It rained the night before, and they filled up. And Yishtabach Shemo, Borei Olam is directing the hubcap to be exactly in that spot, because tomorrow is going to come somebody else, and he's going to be in it. If we stop 10 feet in front or 10 feet behind, we never saw it. Borei Olam's control it. So I said, if Borei Olam can control where a hubcap falls, a leaf he cannot control where it falls. Only if you pay attention. You couldn't have said it better. You couldn't have said it better. Only if you pay attention. These things happen all day long in front of us. But we don't. That's why David HaMelech said, Emanti ki adaber. Emunah only is established by speaking about Emunah. And this is the same thing. Even something that looks very, very bad, that's kitov. But then Hashem showed us the Hazdor. He showed us the Hasadim. He said, look, I wanted to show you how I'm watching you. And that's the same thing when it comes. This is what it means in the Gemara. Kishem shemibarech ala tova, kach mibarech ala ra'a. They once went to a big rabbi. They said, Rabbi, how is it possible to bless God for all the bad? He said, this, there's only one tzaddik that can answer you this question. This is Rabbi Zushia. Go to him, he'll answer you. So they went to Rabbi Zushia. He's sitting in a dilapidated apartment. Cobwebs, old clothes, tzar, the worst conditions. And he said, Rabbi, we were sent to ask you a question. What's the question? So it says in the Gemara, you have to bless God for the bad, just like you bless Him for the good. How is it possible to bless God for the bad that you have to bless Him b'simcha? So they said, they sent you guys to me. What are you coming to me for? I have no bad in my life. Go ask somebody that has bad. They came back to the rabbis. Oh, that's the answer. And the hakamim, they understood either it's kaparat avonot, which ultimately is bankruptcy, which is a good thing. Either it's a temporary bad that eventually turns into good, which is that. But one thing is for sure. Call the avid rahamana. Everything is done by the rahamana. And then you cannot go to the next part unless you accept the first part. Before you get to the Tav Avid, you have to accept this is an act of God, hand of God, whether it's the macro or whether it's the micro. In beginning God looks 17, Tov. It looks small, the Yud Kemak is small. But always the Tov turns into Chesed. And that's what we say in the Pasuk. Enu Adonai Hasdecha. We want to see your name in the level of Chesed. That it should go from itkasya. Itkasya means concealed. From itkasya it should go to itgalya. It should become revealed. And then will be fulfilled the pasuk that says, Ze ayom asa Adonai nagila v'nishmechabo. What's the explanation? Ze ayom asa Adonai, when the name of God becomes revealed and you see that everything was good, nagila means we will enjoy. Gil is joy. But Gil or the Galot also means to reveal. So the Pasuk is saying, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem. On the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to show you everything he did, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem. He's saying, Ani Asiti Zeh, Ani Asiti Zeh, Ani Asiti Zeh. Nagila, he's going to reveal it. Nagila, he shows you that the Tov is really Chesed. We're going to be rejoiced on the past. That's Sha'asali Kotzurki. This is what it means in the Parashah. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Yadad. Hashem is all one. And that's what it means, Va'avtat Hashem Elohecha b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.